strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
I tell you what, folks. Unless he was sitting right next to me, I wouldn't believe it myself. And yeah. Not talking about Calais Campbell, who has earned himself a bi-week edition of the Big Red Rage. That is to say, a little vacation time, all right? Rest, recuperate, rejuvenate. That laugh right there, Wolf, without even looking to your right, you recognize that laugh, do
I
you
did.
Not? All the years here at the Big Red Rage at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
This is a little retro Big Red Rage.
We hit the rewind button. Ladies and gentlemen, sitting in tonight as we go retro, yes, the B-Train, Bertrand Barry on the Big Red Rage.
You know, this is a peaches and herb moment. Reunited, and it feels so good.
Oh, my gosh. It is a flashback, is it not? I mean, how are the emotions? Are they just flooding through you as we speak right here?
Bertrand? You know, I was telling you guys before the show started, my best memory was right before the Super Bowl and seeing the sea of Red Nation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that image I will never, ever forget in my life. I mean, it was one of the coolest moments I could ever remember. And, you know, to have it right here with you guys, definitely a special moment.
You know, it was so cool, too, because I had totally forgotten all about it. Totally. And then, no, it was. And then Bertrand started talking about the fact that, remember what it was like here? And I said, oh, yeah. You know what? As a matter of fact, I do remember. And then you mentioned the Clydesdales, right?
The big guy.
The big Clydesdales that were out there.
Yeah.
Those huge horses.
Thanks to Budweiser.
I mean, the fans were spilling out into the parking lot.
Yeah. The parking lot was closed off. They had all kind of tables set out there. It was great.
That's solid right
there. It was Thursday. After you guys beat Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game, I still vividly remember you telling the story. You walked into your fitness, your gym, right, to get a workout on the off day, and what happened?
Got a standing ovation as I walked in.
Don't remember that.
You know, and I'm thinking, was it because of the spandex I had on? I mean, you know.
No, it was not.
Were they liking the outfit? I mean, you know, what was going on there? But never had that moment ever again, and that was another cool moment in that year.
Do we look every bit as youthful as we did 5, 6, 7 years ago?
Oh, yeah, you're still short.
Oh, come on now. I'm just minus the 220 of chiseled muscle mass.
Did you notice how Paulie's hair went from orange to black? Did you happen to notice that, too? I mean, I don't know what's that. What is that all about right there?
Just in time for Halloween.
Maybe that's what he's trying to do, get that whole orange to black thing.
I tell you, don't tempt me. I'm going to go out trick-or-treating with the kids here before you know it. I'll be on my way right back home, and I'll take my broadcast headset and just go home with it.
Now, B-Train, speaking of that, here we are, the Big Red Rage, the Halloween edition. Not a big Halloween guy, are you?
Tread lightly here, Wolf. Tread lightly. It's the third rail.
No, I'm not a big Halloween guy. You know, I have my theory. You know, any other day, would you let your kids go to another person's house and eat their food?
No, I probably would not.
No,
it's
you
a
wouldn't
good
do
point.
It.
It's a point well taken.
I know. I celebrate life, not death. Bro.
Right.
That's
exactly.
That's just me. I'm sorry.
So what do you do? I mean, are you a total curmudgeon? Yeah, if somebody knocks on your door, you're not going to give them any candy.
True story, last year I had a lawn chair out at the front of my driveway, and I was shooing people off one by one as they came up.
You weren't
like,
armed, were you?
We're not doing
shotgun?
That
shotgun?
No, I just showed up. You know, I had on the tank top. You know, I had greased up the arms. You know, I was looking buff.
Do you have trees in your front yard?
No, I just had me. I was
okay, so no TP in the trees?
No TP, brother.
Okay, so any eggs on the house in the morning?
No, no eggs.
No.
Everything worked out pretty smooth. Everybody was seeming to be pretty cordial, so it was all good.
At any point did you say, get off my rocks? And cock a gun or anything like that. Get off my lawn. You weren't Clint Eastwood or anything like that.
I'm a little uncomfortable with that word choice right there. You know,
by the way,
switch that up a little bit. Cactus.
Are you in a full blown midlife crisis? Because I saw you drive the motorcycle in there. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Okay. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Yes, the B Train sitting in for the next hour. You feel that?
Two receivers left, one to the right. Dillon in the backfield. And Brady drops and throws. Pumps right. And then Brady is sacked by Bertrand Berry. It's his first Cardinal sack. Snap to Rogers. Drops to throw. He's being pressured. He steps up, rolling right. Being chased by Berry. You got him. Sacks him back at the 12-yard line. Two sacks already for the B-Train.
Bertrand Berry once again. The B-Train on the tracks rolling.
A little trip, yeah, down the tracks there, the B train down memory lane a little bit there, if you will. It's time for It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford. I have the information right here as to how historic those sacks were in your career. Okay, those are milestone sacks right there. Ron Wolfley, Paul Calvisi, special guest, former host Bertrand Berry here on the Big Red Rage. Do you know, can you recognize those two sacks? Because Jim O'Hunter put the info down here, sports quiz, you tell us of those two sacks. What were they?
They were my first sack. Mm-hmm. As a Cardinal,
yep.
Against Tom Brady at Sun Devil Stadium. I remember we were at the far end on the goal line, and it was a big play. They wind up kicking the field goal, and I remember I had to change my underwear during that game.
Okay.
Because we had on all white, and I won't get into details, but I'll
TMI.
Just say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the Aaron Rodgers game, that sack was back-to-back. And, they had talked all week about, the game before, how they had put it on us and they were just going to come in and it was more like a bye week for them. And I just remember us going out with a purpose. And I remember DRC intercepting the very first pass of Aaron Rodgers. So those games and those plays are very vivid in my mind.
Okay, so let's get this right. Your first sack was Tom Brady and your last sack was Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Do you see any special significance into those two names at all?
It was special because, both guys are outstanding quarterbacks still in the league today. And with Aaron, I believe that was his first year as a starter. And I was glad we got to him while it was early because we've seen he's gotten progressively better as the years have gone on. And to have had a sack against both of those guys, it's a major coup in my career.
Is there a sack in between that you like the most? I mean, you're a football guy, and you remember these moments as you just illustrated and demonstrated right there. Is there a favorite sack in your career?
There's two. One was against Brett Favre that same year against him when he was with the Minnesota Vikings. For years in Green Bay, I could not get to him. I mean, there were a couple close but no cigars, but then there was also, a couple at Lambeau Field where I could not get to him. But that Minnesota Vikings Sunday night game in 09, mm-hmm. I got to him twice, finally. And I remember my man Wolf with the call, he called it old on old crime. And I will never forget that. But the other one was Tony Romo because, of course, you guys know my dad is a huge Cowboy fan. And to have gotten a sack against the Cowboys was a major coup for me because you know how I feel about the Cowgirls. I mean, boys.
Oh.
Cowboys. I keep
Even from
slipping.
Houston, your dad is a Cowboys fan? We won't get into it.
Please don't.
Okay.
We've been down that road many times. And, it was just good to get that because it was my first play back. I'd been injured a few weeks before, and so that was my first play back after tearing my groin, and I came back and my very first play out got a sack, forced fumble, and we got a turnover.
Remind me, I have a big question about your last year in the NFL. I'm going to save for a little bit later, okay? I've been meaning to ask you this literally for years, but let's ask you for another guy who's at the end of his career, who's being very productive, by the way, John Abraham. Three sacks in his last two games. Thoughts on 55?
I really believe John exactly what they brought to do. He wasn't supposed to be a starter, but when you have situations that come up, you have to step up, and he's done a great job as a veteran guy. He benefits from having more reps because it's kind of a conundrum where if you're an older guy, you get less reps, and that's bad. But if you're a younger guy, you get more reps, and that's kind of bad. So, for me, to see him out there doing his thing at 35, I couldn't be prouder of him, and I think he's silencing a lot of critics because there were a lot of people at the beginning of the season that were thinking, well, maybe he wasn't quite the guy we thought. But I always say sacks come in bunches, and I think that he's going to really start to really up the numbers as this season goes on.
Yeah, you know what, B-Train, I agree with that. I do believe that the sacks do seem to come in bunches, and I think John Abraham would be the first one to tell you that he's left a lot of sacks on the field. He's had that opportunity.
It's part of being a pass rusher.
Absolutely. He had the opportunity on certain plays and in a lot of games. I think John would probably tell you that he should have about four or five more sacks on the season, but it's good to see him get that quickness back. At 35, you're never going to be as quick as you were when you were 25. It's
That's
just
right.
not going to happen, but
That's
it's
right.
good to see him get a little bit of a burst and get the edge as he did in the last couple of weeks that we saw him get the edge. That is a John Abraham trait. If you're not getting the edge, that changeup move is not very effective.
And one thing about being an older veteran, you have to pick and choose your spots. You can't just go out there, you know, full blow every single play. I mean, you want to, you know, give effort and things of that nature, but you want to set up your opponent more now when you're in your elder years than you would be at the beginning. Because at the beginning of your career, you're just, hey, I'm just going to go as fast as I can, as hard as I can, and eventually I'll get some. But as an older guy, you know your energy level isn't quite what it used to be, so you have to pick those battles and play that game within the game. It's chess, not checkers, if you will, Wolf and Paul.
27-13, Cardinals get the win against Atlanta. The Cardinals defense was upset. They even gave up a touchdown by the end of that game. You have Calais Campbell, right, our host of this show.
Big fella.
Yeah, and so, and Darnell Dockett, Todd Bowles yesterday gave them big credit for a number of things, but in particular, using their hands very well. And give me a quick explanation of that, a little football 101, because I think a lot of people think, oh, boy, you're in the trenches, right? It's all shoulder pads and body blows and cut blocks. And he was crediting these big guys for using their hands. What does that mean exactly?
Well, as a defensive lineman and as an offensive lineman, the game is won and lost with your hands. As an offensive guy, the more you can get your hands on a smaller, quicker defensive lineman, then the chances of being successful are much better. So as a defensive lineman, your goal is to keep those hands away from you, because the law of physics say a smaller, quicker guy going forward should beat a fatter, slower guy going backwards. So, you know, the only advantage he has is those big paws that he has. And if you can keep those big paws off of you, then more times than not, you're going to be very successful.
You know, the Cards pass rush in general, John Abraham is such a key, obviously. He's the one guy I think they have where you can line him up and he can just be better on a certain play than an offensive tackle that will block him. Just be better than. As I've said many times, there are three primary ways you can actually generate sacks. You can have guys that are just better than the guy trying to block him. You can have scheme, of course, generate scheme and get sacks that way. And then, of course, you can have covered sacks or a combination thereof,
no question.
All of those. And John Abraham still to this day is the one Cardinal that I think can line up and just be better than a guy that's trying to block him on a given play. Okay, and it's one of the reasons why I've got such regard and respect for him. And I think the Cardinals pass rush overall, B-Train, really is a little bit better than where I thought it was going to be, to tell you the truth.
And you have to have one guy that is a guy that you just said is better than the other person, because it sets up everybody else. Calais, Darnell, everybody along that line gets the feed, because so much attention is paid to John that it frees them up, puts them in one-on-one. And we know both of those guys one-on-one, that's really no contest.
We're going to talk about the Cardinals running game next, but so far on defense, is the most impressive thing, yes or no, about the Cardinals defense 2013, their ability to stop the run. Would that be the most impressive thing so far? Can I get a yes or a no?
Maybe.
Exactly. Just as frustrating as he was back in the day. It is the Big Red Rage with Bertrand Berry sitting in for Calais Campbell, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
First down for the Cardinals on their 20. They're going to run Ellington up the middle. He cuts left and has running room at the 30-yard line. At the 40, it's a foot race at the 50. Near side 40, at the 30, 25-20, 15-10, 5, touchdown! An 80-yard run by the super rookie, Andre Ellington.
Hands on the ground, running an inside zone. All he did was run that 35 belly, bounced it to the outside, and it was nothing but a foot race. Andre Ellington with a great read and showing the Jets get the edge.
Let me tell you, I was down on the far sideline, and he came racing by with a convoy behind him, and you knew it. We were all there. We all saw it, and he just went by like a bullet train. You realize, A, no one was going to catch him, and then, B, I realized right away what he did for the entire sideline, guys. It is the Big Red Rage. Bertrand Berry is sitting in for Calais Campbell. Our bye week edition here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford, Ron Wolfley, Paul Calvisi, and B-Train. You can speak to this because there are plays on offense that pick up the defense. Every single defensive guy got off that bench and went racing down to the end zone to congratulate Andre Ellington.
There's no question. And you look at a big play guy like an Andre Ellington, he has that ooh speed. When you see him run and he's getting it going, you just say ooh as he's rolling down the field, because not very many people on the field have that type of speed. And to have that kind of guy on your team is definitely an asset. And to have a play like that, which you've been starving for so long, to get that kind of play, it definitely lifts up the defense, because for one, it's points points on the board. It makes their job that much easier because now you're not playing so tight. Now you can play with a little bit of edge, knowing that in order for them to score or to beat you, they're going to have to get into the end zone. So it makes your job a little bit easier on the defensive side. And you want to match that level of play. Once they have a big play, you want to, on defense in turn, come back and get your own big play.
Football is such a futile game. It is a game of land acquisition. And I don't care how much of a passing league this league turns into. There's nothing like lining up your guys on the line of scrimmage. They line up their guys on the line of scrimmage. You snap the ball, you turn around, you hand it off, and somebody physically beats you. Yeah. Not throwing it over your head, not throwing it underneath you.
Not
somebody
trying to
lines
trick you.
Up, not trying to trick you. Yeah. Somebody just physically beats you, and it's a running back that takes the ball and runs it and gets daylight like Andre Ellington got daylight. There is nothing that will excite a football team like lining up and basically attacking your neighbor and taking his land. And that's basically what Andre Ellington did.
That sounds a lot like Monopoly, brother.
A little bit, yeah.
Land acquisition,
you know,
I like
off,
that.
Yeah, boardwalk.
What does it do for an offense? Because look at the Cardinals. Over 200 yards rushing. You know, Andre Ellington, 15 for a buck 54. Yes, over 10 yards of carry with a big 80-yarder. Stephon Taylor came in. His long was a 15-yarder, busting tackles. He was doing it with a totally different style. But you also got a couple of big touchdown passes to your big wideouts. It's so critical to the overall balance and efficiency of an offense when you get the running game going.
And to Wolf's point, it all starts with the running game. If you can run the ball, it sets up so much for your offense, and you can do so much more from a scheme standpoint. If they're having to respect the run and commit another defender down in that box, then you can open up the middle of the field, and you can have a Larry Fitzgerald, a Michael Floyd, Andre Roberts. All those guys can now start to get a little wiggle room, and they can go and make the plays that you drafted them to do. So the fact that they ran the football effectively, I think that was key to that whole game, and the fact that the Atlanta Falcons could not run the ball, I think that was also a key point.
And to that point right there, think about this, guys. The Cardinals ran eight plays, the first eight plays of the game. They threw the ball five times, and one of those, Carson Palmer pick. Mm. Okay, and after that pick, Carson Palmer threw the ball 13 times out of the next 50 plays that were called.
I did not realize
13
that.
13 times out of the next 50 plays that were called. And, you know, to me, it was because you were able to run the ball. You were able to have success running the ball. Right now, think about this, guys. Andre Ellington has carried the ball 43 times this year. You know what he's averaging? Yards per carry? 43 attempts this year. 7.7.
Wow.
Almost 8 yards a carry. And even in this game where he rushed for 154 yards on 15 carries. Look, if you take away that 80-yard touchdown run, which you can't, but if you do that, he's got 14 carries for 74 yards. That's 5.2 yards per carry. Andre Ellington has got great vision. It's one of the things that the Cardinals love about him. The Cardinals coaches, they love him. By the way, the offensive linemen love him too.
Absolutely.
Because when they're out there blocking and they're giving it up and they've got a guy who actually can see the hole or find a hole and make something out of nothing, that inspires them, trust me.
So how many carries? You know, he's 5'9", 200 pounds maybe. You know, how many carries? What's feasible? What's doable going forward?
I would say anywhere from 15 to 25. I know he's a smaller guy, but he seems to be able to carry that load. You want to get him the ball at least 30 times a game. He's that dynamic of a player. You don't have to necessarily do it running between the tackles. You can also incorporate him in the passing game as well. So there's so many ways that you can get an Andre Ellington the ball and let him be effective for your team.
I'm going to go 20 touches for the most part in general. 20 touches for Andre Ellington. Even in this game, he had 17 touches, caught two passes as well in this game. You could see him get off the ground a couple of times, very, very slowly.
Yeah, and you're right. There were a couple of those instances. Other times, though, he did a pretty good job of avoiding the big hit and the shot. We talked about that in the pregame show. He seems to have that knack, so obviously that'll serve any running back well. A 2014 Pro Bowl ballot, and it is open. Vote for the best players regardless of conference. You can vote right now for your favorites at azcardinals.com/Pro Bowl. Back with more. It is the Big Red Rage featuring Bertrand Berry tonight.
Navy SEAL talked about resting or reloading, then the difference between the two. And hopefully we reload, come back Monday for a great practice, and don't be the guy. You know, too many times when a guy gets a day off, he gets tased in South Beach or something. You know, we don't want any of that stuff, and we don't need any distractions. And that was the message.
You guys laugh, Ron Wolfley. Bertrand Berry sitting in for Calais Campbell, Paul Calvisi over here. You guys laugh, but you also nod. when he says that guy, you're fully aware of who he's talking about, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing about it, when a coach has a week set out, and you know, he usually tries to throw you a bone. He tries to give you as much rest as you possibly can. But keep in mind, if you're going to be there the next week and you blow it that year before, chances are you're not going to get the same kind of rest that you got the year before. So it's in your best interest as a collective unit to say, hey, everybody just be cool, you know, try not to do too much, you know, make it back in time for that first meeting that morning, because you definitely don't want to, you know, mess up a good thing that you got going right there.
I just love the fact that B.A. used hyperbole, and that's what it is, hyperbole, saying you don't want to be the guy who gets tased down in South Beach.
We've seen it happen, though.
To make a point, because everyone knew exactly what he was talking about. You don't want to be the guy that you know what, drinks too much and gets in a car, and you shouldn't be in the car. You don't want to be that guy that gets hit with a DUI, right? You don't want to be that guy that in any way, shape, or form gets into any type of trouble. And it's one of the reasons why I couldn't stand the bye week. Back when I played, I just hated it. I despised it, because the context of the season to me was you had to be in a mind frame. This is just me personally. You had to be in this certain mindset to go out and do your job in the National Football League. And when you were on the bye week, it just felt like you were out of that context. Mm-hmm. And it was hard sometimes to reload, so to speak. There is a difference between resting and reloading, and hopefully this team will come back reloaded.
Well, that's very interesting. And he brought in a Navy SEAL to try and sort of communicate that message. What does that mean to you, Bertrand? You know, rest or reload, you know, recuperate, you know, rejuvenate? I mean, where is the line between, I don't know, relaxing too much, per se?
I really believe the difference lies between a veteran and a younger player. A veteran knows how to take advantage of a bye week. As a veteran, I stayed here. I never left the house. I pretty much, you know, caught up on all my TiVo. You know, anything that, you know, I wanted to watch on TV, I pretty much, you know, caught up to speed on that. But I didn't go anywhere. I didn't want to take any trips, because to me, the further you got away from where you played, that was almost like practicing and things of that nature, because you go up in the air, you know, you're getting tired, and you're trying to go to all these places and stay out as late as you possibly can. I think you do more damage, to Wolf's point, than you do good. So for me, I always wanted to stay there at my house and just rest and not move, not do anything, almost like I was coming off a surgery or something.
But you know what's so interesting? I think what BA is talking about is reloading. Correct?
Yes.
I mean, that's what he's talking about doing. And that, of course, means you've got to stay within that context. See, that is the problem, to your point, Beach, right? That is the problem. That's the problem I have with some guys, because they do. They go away and, man, it's, you know, it's debauchery for a weekend. And you know what? Again, I'm not judging them for their choice. That's what they choose to do. Yet at the same time, I don't know how you can really reload. Reloading is you're within the context of combat. It's around you, and you're reloading, and you're within that context. Rest is you're out of that context. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a big difference. And I'm so impressed, though, that BA actually brought somebody in to tell the team that, to demonstrate that, to explain the difference. That's pretty cool.
You know, without hearing the speech, I took it to mean, okay, look, you guys in this locker room, don't treat these 4 days like it's the off season. The vacations, and get into that mindset, and don't relax your mind. Keep your mind on the fact that you still have a job to do. And so, you know, it's a rest period within the season. It's not the off season. And there's a difference in mentality. You guys know that.
And the one thing, too, that they have to keep in mind, there's still a lot of season left. And we were talking off air, this 4-4 this year feels a lot different than the 4-4 last year.
Oh, big time.
At this point in the season. So this team still has everything in front of them. It's going to be a daunting task, no doubt. But they still can accomplish everything that they want to accomplish at the beginning of the season. They have to make sure that they use this bye week as a catapult to the rest of the season, that they can, you know, finish strong and do take care of their business. Because if they win in the division, they got to take care of this division. If they don't do that, then all of this is a moot point.
You know, it's sort of a difference between being bullish on the stock market, right? Or it's you're looking at a down economic forecast. I mean, you know, this is trending upward. This 4-4 versus a year ago, that's the difference to me. You know, the only real question mark to me now, because I think the offense is starting to figure it out, is the O-line. Mm-hmm. How big a liability is that still to you guys? Is that the biggest question going into the final 8 games of the season?
Yes.
It's got to be, right? It just, I mean, a lot of this is going to ride on the O-line.
No.
No. Once again, I'm trying to get buy-in here.
But that's good that we can disagree.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here. We can talk.
Of buying. thousands of Ford vehicles to choose from and spectacular deals going on right now. It's the 410 sale event, University of Phoenix Stadium, going on today through November 3rd. Check it out. Yes, University of Phoenix Stadium. It is the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford. Back with Birch and Berry here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center right after this. And Palmer, play action, stepping up in the pocket, throws near side. It's caught by Fitzgerald at the 40-yard line and tackled there. And he grabs the ball and hands it to a trainer. Catch number 800 in the glorious career of future Hall of Famer Larry Fitzgerald.
Carson Palmer stepping up, and there was Larry working against the corner one-on-one. He ran the out, and Palmer put it on him.
The youngest player in NFL history to reach 800 catches, Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah, great call by you guys. Dave Pasch, Ryan Wolfe on the Cardinals Radio Network there, documenting more history by Larry Fitzgerald, the youngest ever to 800 grabs. It is a Big Red Rage with Bertrand Berry sitting in for Calais Campbell. Paul Calvisi over here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford. So how many more years do you think Larry Fitzgerald has? And by the way, he's still a Cardinal. The trade deadline came and went. He's still a Cardinal. Steve Keim told you over in Arizona Sports 620 Wolf definitive he was going to stay a Cardinal. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I don't know how that ever became a rumor. That sounds so ridiculous, and you know, I'm not even going to give that any time of day. But to talk about Larry and his 800 catches, it's just a productive guy. And to think he could have done this a lot sooner had he not missed a big chunk of, I forget, it was like 2006 or something, and the games that he's – I mean, this could have been done so much earlier. So he's been a productive guy ever since he stepped on the field. His very first game against St. Louis in 04, you knew he was going to make spectacular plays, and he's been doing it consistently all throughout his career. And I can say, as a teammate for 6 years, I was honored to have the opportunity to play alongside Larry Fitzgerald.
You know, I've got to credit my partner Doug Franz for this, the morning show that I actually do. But Larry Fitzgerald, his 800 receptions has come from 15 different quarterbacks.
Oh,
stop and think about that.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
15.
Wow.
Different quarterbacks, and yet he is the youngest to get to 800. What does that tell you? If that isn't Hall of Fame, I don't know what is.
Yeah, that is a stat, no doubt about it. Well, let me ask you this. Okay, two things. Number one, to finish up on Larry there, probably nobody could use the bye weekend like Larry Fitzgerald to try and get the hamstring correct, try and get it to 100%, because I think it's hampering him more than he's going to let on. Number two, to talk about the quarterback situation, you know, it's the big question, obviously. It's a big question with half the teams in the league, the quarterback question. Long-term, do the Cardinals have a question of quarterback? Yes, you know, a long-term future franchise quarterback. How about right here, right now? Did Carson Palmer answer a lot of questions against Atlanta for you guys after that early interception, rebounding with the touchdown throw to Larry, with one to Michael Floyd, and the way he ran the offense with efficiency?
No.
Didn't answer enough questions for you?
No. I don't think he's the long-term answer here. I think he's brought here for a specific purpose, to be the fill-in until they get themselves a franchise quarterback, and I think he's done a decent job. I don't think he's done a great job. I don't think he's done a poor job, but he's done a decent job of what they've asked him to do. There's still certain plays, and at this stage in his career, he just should not be making. But you give him credit. He's gotten this team to 4 wins. They're 500 right now, and he, just like you give him the blame when they lose, you got to give him the credit when they win, and I will be the first to do that. But as far as a long-term answer, Wolf,
yeah,
I just don't see it.
First of all, the acquisition, I think, of Carson Palmer was a no-brainer for Steve Keim and the Arizona Cardinals. I think they got the best possible alternative. Finding a guy like Carson Palmer, an accomplished quarterback, and you're giving up, what, a seventh-round pick for Carson Palmer.
You do that in your sleep.
Absolutely. To me, I think the Cardinals never really looked. I could be dead wrong on this. This is my opinion. The Cardinals never looked at Carson Palmer as a long-term fix. I believe they looked at him as a short-term patch. The guy is 33 years old. He's turning 34 here. You know, you're not going to build your team around a quarterback, unless your name is Kurt Warner. You're not going to build a team around a quarterback that is that old for the next 4, 5, 6 years. You're looking for that guy, and Carson Palmer is a pro. I respect him greatly. And the fact that you've seen Carson Palmer have some horrific games, and he has, and yet he has come back back from some of those horrific games and been the difference in the fourth quarter. Some of the throws that he has made that has allowed the Cardinals to win games, like the Detroit Lions game, like the Tampa Bay game. The throw he makes to Larry Fitzgerald when Larry's working against Darrell Revis to tie the game up at 10. The throw that he made is incredible when you watch it on film, because your left guard broke down big time. It was a jailbreak. It moved Carson to his left. Your left tackle was getting thrashed at the same time. He stepped in between those two guys and boom, a absolute dart and a strike to Larry Fitzgerald, working against one of the best, if not the best, corners in the game. That's what Carson is capable of because of his experience. It allows him to get on top of some of the mistakes that he's making, but he's thrown some interceptions. And, Bertrand, you know this as well as I do. All picks are not created equal.
No.
They are not.
No.
There are some that every player on the sideline can look at and go, I totally understand that. I get that. You know, I see what he was trying to do right there. Hey, sometimes you got to look at the other guy. He's a National Football League player, the best our species can generate. Sometimes you look at him and say, he made a play. The guy made a play. Yeah. And then there's other picks where they rattle the foundation of the sideline, where you look at the cue and you go, dude, what were you looking at? And that's the problem, because I would say of the 14 picks Carson has had, maybe 6 or 7 of them have been picks where you look at him and go, dude, what are you doing? What is going on there? That's bad. If Carson Palmer throws 14 picks in the second half of the season, I don't think the Cardinals will have any chance whatsoever of getting into the postseason. If he cuts down on those picks, and a lot of that has to do with the protection that he's receiving, and we should talk about that, but if he cuts down on those picks, this defense will keep them in a lot of games, and I think they can win 5 of the next 8.
And just to be fair, before we get out of here, there's only about 6 franchises right now that really can say we're all set. We're good at quarterback.
Totally agreed.
The other 26, if something comes along, they're willing to make a deal.
Yep. Hey, with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo donates $500 to local public schools. So the Passing Touchdown for Schools program, Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. We're moving on with the Big Red Rage. Yes, Bertrand Berry, the B-Train, in for Calais Campbell here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Straight drop back for Ryan. Steps up, throws it near side, and another interception. This one by the Honey Badger. He's got it at the 40-yard line and tackled there. 3 interceptions for Matt Ryan through the first 6 games. 3 interceptions today. And the Cardinals have it again, leading 24-6.
Honey power activates. Form of a badger.
That is great. Outstanding right there. Yes, the Big Red Rage. That is the laugh of Bertrand Berry sitting in for Calais Campbell. This bye week edition, Ron Wolfley, Dave Pasher, truly Paul Calvisi, all presented by Santan Ford. Well, guess what, Wolf? Activating the form of NFL Defensive Rookie of the Month.
Wow.
How about the plaque or the award or trophy, whatever they give him? It's the honor. He gets it. Yes, and he's one of the handful of rookies in Cardinals history. Okay, I mean, you talk about guys like Simeon Rice. You talk about Anquan Boldin. You talk about a Jake Plummer. All right, these are some of the best players in franchise history who have earned honors as a Rookie of the Month in the NFL. He had 21 tackles in October. He had a pick, he had a sack, he had 5 passes defensed, and this comment from Bertrand Berry on the rookie Tyrann Mathieu. Your impressions so far?
I think he's a heck of a player. I think they got a steal in the 3rd round when they drafted him, but I cannot, as a grown man, bring myself to call him that nickname. I am not saying it. Cannot call another grown man honey by any stretch of the imagination. It just doesn't work for me.
Now, Pete Weiss, his close friend, calls him the Badger. He just calls him the Badger.
I'm going to call him Tyrann Mathieu. How about that? We're just going to keep it real simple.
Fair enough. Yep.
But I think his instincts for the ball are second to none. You cannot coach that. His ability to be around the ball all the time, you cannot coach that. He just has a knack for this game. And everybody has said he's not the biggest, he's not the fastest, he's not the strongest. But for whatever reason, whenever you see the ball, you can always guarantee 32 is somewhere near.
He can play.
And that's all you need to say about him. He's a football player.
What do you think his upside is in this league? I mean, what are we seeing? What are we seeing right now? Where is he going to be in 3 years? We've seen him for 3 months. Where is he going to be in 3 years, guys? You got a thought?
I mean, that's the question right there, Paulie. I mean, that is it. Let's face it. There is a pattern that has repeated itself for Tyrann Mathieu over and over and over again, and it is success. Success on the football field, Do you know why? Because he's a great football player. I kid you not. I'll put him in the category right now of a future Troy Polamalu. He's got those kind of instincts. He's that good. He makes that much of a difference to this defense because of his instincts and because of the football player that he is. But the pattern that has repeated itself is success on the football field and then failure off. Success on the football field and then failure off. You go back to high school, you go back to college, of course, in his career right there. Right now, the success that he's having on the field is clear for everyone to see, and now the accolades are starting to come. Defensive Rookie of the Month in the NFC, that's right, big. For October. This is a big honor right here, Ian. I just hope and pray. I root for this kid. I do. I root for this kid in a big, big way because I think he is a good kid at heart. I think he is a kid that really cares about his job. He's a kid that cares, and yet at the same time, he's got a problem. I just hope to see him overcome that one day in his life, where he's free of that, and he can just go play this game that he loves so much and he plays so well. But that is the pattern. When you talk about Tyrann Mathieu, there's an old adage out there that says, don't fear failure, fear success. And that's a good warning for us all, but in particular, I would say for the Honey Badger.
Well, he's now the starting free safety. He's on the field for virtually every snap. Nobody's playing more snaps on defense than Tyrann Mathieu. He goes into the sub packages, right? He goes down to that slot corner, you know, the nickel and dime. I mean, he's a very valuable piece of that defense right now.
And I really believe for his long-term success, the best thing that could have happened to him was to be drafted by a team that had his buddy Patrick Peterson and
absolutely,
his big brother.
Yep.
This is the guy that recruited him to go to LSU, so they've known each other for well over 6 years now. And the fact that he has that comfort zone, that guy that really knows him inside and out here in Arizona, I think that's going to be big. And Patrick, although he may not have signed up for that added responsibility, I think he accepts it because of the fact that he knows Tyrann so well, and he's been a role model for him for, you know, basically all of his college career. So it was perfect the way that it fell in place for Tyrann Mathieu. And I think with Patrick Peterson here keeping him on the straight and narrow, I think you couldn't have asked for a better scenario.
One of the things, too, I love about Tyrann Mathieu is, to your point, he's not the biggest guy by any stretch of the imagination. As a matter of fact, you walk up on him and you go, oh, my goodness. You can't believe just how slight Tyrann Mathieu really is. Yet I think he might be the best tackler on the defense. He might be the best tackler on this football team. He's number two in tackles with 49 on the year. The way that he plays so much bigger than he is. It defies logic, guys. It really does.
Coaches were talking recently about how he's an old school tackler. He's a fundamentally sound tackler. He gets his head across. He wraps. I mean, he does it. Instead of just run, trying to put a shoulder on a guy at 800 miles an hour, he actually is good at the art of tackling.
He's not big enough to do that shoulder thing. So he has to be form and technique sound. And otherwise, he's not going to be able to be the same productive player that he is.
Think about this. He's one of six guys in the NFL that has two picks, one sack, and five passes defended. One of six in the NFL, and it's Tyrann Mathieu.
Playmaker. Cardinals single game tickets on sale now. Visit the University of Phoenix Stadium box office or Ticketmaster.com. Back with more on the Big Red Rage.
Two receivers right, two to the left. Matt Ryan in shotgun. Big third down here. Ryan, straight drop. Fires over the middle. Intercepted at the 30-yard line by Washington. D-Wash with the pick, and the Cardinals take over in business with 8:50 to go in the third, leading 21-6.
That is a great play by the Jägermeister, dropping into a zone room, and all he did was look at the eyes of Matt Ryan, went up high and snagged it. That is a great play by Darrell Washington.
You know, that Megadeth music bed there is fitting. How about our guy Jim Omohundro last night, right? On behalf of the Arizona Cardinals, hooking up with the guys from Megadeth, bringing them jerseys. Yeah. If you go to azcardinals.com or you follow them on Twitter, at azcardinals, right, you can see all the photos. And Dave Mustaine and company, and they had their rocking their Cardinals jersey. Very well done last night out at the county fair, the state fair, that is. So very solid. Dave Mustaine and the guys have been longtime Cardinal fans. Obviously, everyone is a fan of Darrell Washington and what he's done, the before and after in the Cardinals defense. It is the Big Red Rage. Bertram Berry sitting in. So let's get back to this disagreement we had earlier, okay? Let's look at the defense and zoom out the big picture. I said the thing that has impressed me the most so far this year has been their ability to stop the run based on the fact they were 28th in the NFL a season ago. And you disagreed. You said, no, you're most impressed by?
The fact that they're turning the ball over at a very high rate. I think this defense is making a ton of plays. They're keeping this team in a lot of ball games. And with Darrell Washington back in the mix, he was that explosive X factor that I really believe that everybody feeds off of. It seems as if the defensive intensity picked up a few notches when Darrell Washington came back, and nobody could be happier than a Carlos Dansby. You're talking about two, you know, very athletic inside linebackers who can cover a lot of ground, and we saw the one game where they both had two sacks and a pick apiece. I mean, it's a thing of beauty to have two guys on the inside that can cover so much ground and do so many things. You can be so versatile with them. I really believe that they have one of the top linebacker tandems in the NFL on the inside. I really believe that they've made that many plays that you have to put them at least in the top three as far as tandems and linebackers in the NFL.
Nothing's more important than taking the ball away from your opponent. There is absolutely nothing that is more demoralizing to an offensive football team than to have the defense continue to take the ball away from you. It has a psychological impact on a sideline. It has a psychological impact on the guy that's calling plays when the offense is turning the ball over and the defense is taking the ball away. The Arizona Cardinals are number two in the National Football League in takeaways. Only the Kansas City Chiefs, with 20 takeaways on the season, they have one more than the Arizona Cardinals defense does. To me, it has a tangible impact, because maybe you're taking the ball away when you're creating that turnover. You're keeping them from scoring points, whether it's a field goal or whether it's in your own red zone. You're taking the ball away, or maybe you're taking the ball away on their side of the field and setting your offense up. It's this huge, huge psychological and tangible impact on a football game. So to me, when you talk about what is a team doing well, I'd want my offense to be protecting the ball more than anything else, and I'd want my defense to be taking the ball away. And in today's NFL, guys, and Bertrand, I'd be very interested to get your take on this, the passing league that it is, in today's NFL, we're seeing a lot of teams that don't play great defense, but, man, they get their hands on a lot of footballs. And the reason being is because their offense is so high-powered and they're throwing the ball so well, scoring points, it puts the other team in a one-dimensional situation, and then you're seeing a defense rise up and create takeaways.
Yeah, definitely love the fact that there's so many more turnovers, but I hate the fact that the ball is thrown all over the lot. There's not enough running in the game right now. But, you know, I'm an old school guy, and I know. As a retired guy for more than 4 years now, I'm going to be considered an old fogey, but that's just how I feel. I think you cannot – if a team can run the ball and control the time of possession, you're going to win more than you lose.
See, the problem is you can't look like a genius running the ball. You can't. But, man, you'll look like a genius throwing it, and offensive coordinators know it.
I love the fact that Bertrand Berry is able to join us here. All right, Lab,
I want a big
see ya and a big thank you to Bertrand Berry, the B-Train, for reliving the good times, going down memory lane here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Of course, we'll hear from him pre-game on the Cardinals Radio Network. All the best to Bertrand Berry. We'll be back to wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Reminder, guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Betteridge Jewelers in Scottsdale and Paul Benzler Jewelers in Yuma. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. Oh, man, that was outstanding.
That was so fun.
That was great, no doubt about it. You know what else is great? What Bruce Arians is doing on the bye weekend. The head coach of the Arizona Cardinals is holding a charity event on behalf of children. Putt-Putt for Purpose. That is the name of it. It is at Golfland in Mesa, Sunday 3 to 6. For all the info and to sign up and to go ahead and do what you can, ArianSFamilyFoundation.com. ArianSFamilyFoundation.com. A lot of Cardinals players are going to be out there. Guys like Calais Campbell, the host of this show, Patrick Peterson and company. Putt-Putt for Purpose. And you can go out and have a great time and help support and go towards the benefit of children. So that's outstanding as the Cardinals try and get things right for the second half of the season. To a man, everyone said, you know what, we concur. The bye week came at the perfect time. And as Carson Palmer said a couple of weeks ago, Wolf, his quote, winnable games, two words. And guess what? You got Houston straight ahead at 2-5. You got a road trip to Jacksonville. They're 0-8. I mean, you have a chance. You are in the hunt. There is no doubt. And you are in the hunt for a wild card spot.
Yeah, I love what Bruce Arians said about it, too. You can't look at it the second half of the season in its totality. You have to take it one game at a time. It is a cliche. There's no doubt about it. But especially when you're talking about a team like the Arizona Cardinals, a very competitive football team. That is the one thing we know about the Cardinals in the first half of the season. This is a competitive football team. And I think, Paulie, in the second half, we're going to see them remain competitive. What's going to determine wins and losses, in my opinion, in a gross simplification of the truth, turnovers. You can't keep throwing interceptions at the rate that Carson Palmer is right now. For whatever the reason may be, you can't do that in the second half and expect to win games.
Look, the defense is going to keep you in every game. I mean, that's the expectation. Can the offense go ahead and be productive enough and get you into the end zone and mitigate, right, the mistakes so you can get the win? A special thanks, as always, Jim Omohundro, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Jordan Bird. Special shout-out to Bertrand Berry for joining us. Have a great bye week, everyone. Calais Campbell included out there. For Ron Wolfe and Paul Calvisi, the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Be trade.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, what? What's up, Aces?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.